Always an interesting show with Coach Justin Lima. We get into some nerdy, specific strength and conditioning topics today. Velocity-based training, getting stronger with less weight. We also talk about, is Wisconsin to be feared and respected like they used to be in 2015? Are they still gritty under Luke Fickell? And then we circle back to the Doyle interview and talk about one of the bigger insights he had on how he would treat new freshman players once they got on campus. Let's have one. Let's go.
I'm telling you, the bowl gifts from that Pinstripe Bowl, I mean, they were way better than the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl gifts, they were like subpar, but I'm telling you, Pinstripe Bowl, chef's kiss.
We got all the new era stuff, the clothing.
Yeah.
Like the
that jacket. Y'all were pumped about the jacket because you never got one.
the winter coat.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
It's like Antarctica level grade. Like
it is.
You could, I think it's at my parents' house, but that thing, I think my mom wears it in the winter. And
I use it when I snowblow. Yeah.
It's like bulletproof, dude. It's insane. It's probably the best quality piece of clothing we ever got. Welcome in, 5105 show. Just talking about bowl gifts as we enter here.
I mean, bowl eligible, you know, hopefully here soon.
This weekend.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we're talking about it.
Unless
you keep riding the roller coaster.
Coach sent me a text message a couple days ago, Sunday maybe, and he all he said was Iowa right now. Hope it doesn't continue. And that he sent me this right here. Oh, see if I can get it to. It's not going to do it. It's a little up down on the survival failure success continuum, if you want to call it that. Up and down the last 5 weeks.
Gotta be exhausting for them.
What are we doing? It is. It's a lot of mental energy.
It is.
A lot of questioning. Like, okay, what are, like, a lot of people on the outside are like, okay, what is this team? You're not immune to that on the inside either.
Nope.
How do you get out of that? How do we get out of that, coach? What do we do?
As a strength and conditioning coach, you're just speaking life into exactly that. Like you just call it out, be like, listen guys, look, this is literally where we are. And if it was me and what I would do, I'd literally take that graph and any of the losses, I'd superimpose an image of the team we lost to at the bottom, team we beat. And then it's like, we can get off this, y'all. We can literally get off this. But the thing that scares me is the fact that Wisconsin has never gotten the respect that it deserves in that building during my time there.
What? Okay. Whoa. Wow. Okay.
My opinion, this is me speaking.
Okay.
I never felt that Wisconsin had the urgency that it should have been delivered with. Yeah. Michigan, Ohio State, all the time. But when you look back historically at successful Iowa football teams, go do the research because Cody and I did it when I worked there. Any year that Iowa beats Wisconsin is typically like it was a BCS year or a Big Ten championship year. It doesn't get talked about nearly as much, but Wisconsin can be better at doing what Iowa wants to do than Iowa can do.
Wow. Okay. I wasn't prepared for this. Justin and I don't talk about this stuff. We just hop on, two bald guys, ready, set, go. I understand what you're saying, though. So you are, for the listener, you are saying that in the complex, in the facility, within the team conversations, language, attitude, behavior, you don't think we brought the same intensity and urgency to the Wisconsin week that we did say, oh, Ohio State's coming in, Michigan's coming in.
Correct. And it would be a little bit more than the Northwestern type style games where it'd be like, oh yeah, like it's, you know, Ohio State, but it's like, well, that's why you play down to an opponent and sometimes lose. And we didn't this weekend, which was nice to see, but a perfect example, 2017, Woodshed Ohio State next week, get absolutely spanked and can't do anything. And maybe it's because you went from the high down to the low. I don't know. But in general, my feeling in that building was, yeah, Coach Ferentz would talk about that they're a good opponent, But if you hear that, what was the rest of the staff and the players actually doing and saying? Was it one of those, yeah, sure, coach says it, or did you believe it?
So this is, for me personally, Wisconsin was my game.
Oh, okay.
We had four rivalry games, four trophy games. Obviously, those meant a lot. A lot of Iowa guys were Iowa, Iowa State. That was their rival. Some people hated Nebraska. We've talked about this on the show. Like Kevin and I always go back and forth because his game that he personally got up for was Minnesota.
Really?
Kevin just gets, you know, he's just full attention for the pig and everything. He loves the Minnesota game. Floyd of Rosedale is just like his, that's his shrine. For me, it was Wisconsin. And I don't know. So when you say that, that reaction for me is like, dang, I really, every time we played Wisconsin, me personally, I felt like it was the biggest game on the calendar, on the schedule. But I can understand, I'm one guy of 100 plus players and 30 plus staff members. I remember in 2015, I talk about it all the time, we won that first Big Ten game at Wisconsin, 10-6.
That's huge.
And there was, you know, maybe certain guys didn't have something to compare that to, but when I was in high school, Marshalltown High School, our one good year in the history of the program. Our one great year in the history of Marshalltown High School football, 2009. Again, Marshalltown is back at the time. It was, you know, there's 42 or 46 or 48 4A schools. Now there's 5A, but 4A schools. Marshalltown doesn't compete, right? If you're in the top half of that, it's like, holy crap, this is a good year for Marshalltown. We had a class come through, a couple younger classes come through that were talented, cared, coach, everything went perfect, right? And we went on an undefeated run to the state championship, ended up losing to City High, AJ Derby. But beat Dowling in the dome.
Jeez.
During that season, what sparked that season, and it felt so similar. I felt like I was living deja vu in 2015 when we beat Wisconsin, was about one third of the way through the year in that regular season, we played West Des Moines Valley. And we always played Valley because they were in our conference at the time. They were the big dog of that conference, and we never beat Valley. And we never even really came close to competing with West Des Moines Valley. They're Valley at the time. They were going back and forth. This was before Dowling. Valley and Bettendorf were going back and forth for like the entire 2000s, winning state championship after state championship. And we beat Valley on a last second field goal at their place. We, like, our away fans stormed the field. Like, it was, we felt like we had won the Super Bowl. And at the time, we were just 3-0. Field goal just barely inches over the post. Soccer player playing kicker just barely gets it over, sophomore at the time, or junior. But the momentum that game and the confidence that game gave us against Valley for the rest of the season to go play with Waukee, go play with Johnston, anybody, Dowling, we felt like we couldn't lose. And that Wisconsin game felt the same to me. We beat Wisconsin. It was the first time in my career. We hadn't beaten them. We almost got them in 14. I think it was that 14? Yeah, the 14 game.
14 was, that was a really good, that was the one that was, it was an afternoon game, but it got late at night. Mm. Rudock threw to, yeah.
Yep.
And that
we had
one,
no business playing with them.
It was 24-26. We missed the 2-point conversion. Yes, because I pulled up the record here.
Melvin Gordon.
That was Melvin. Yeah.
Ran for like 400 the week before and then another 200 on us. The guy was incredible to watch in person. Anyway, so when we beat Wisconsin that 15 year, like, that is one of the most vivid games of my memory. But I think you're right. I think it's probably on a different level somewhere okay, in
like,
somewhere
look at in this.
Okay.
Wisconsin 11th, 23rd, 14th, 10, 6, 18, 14 in terms of like where they've been ranked, 19th, 25th when they play us. We're not always ranked as high. Like here's a 13, here's a 25, here's a 19, here's a 19, here's a 9. So that's what I'm saying. Like they're just.
Do you think it's because we're close enough to them? Like they aren't Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, at least like the standard of like being great top 10 all the time, that
when we play those teams, there's enough there. There's enough on those guys' resume. Kirk, you know, KF always used to say, "Yo, Penn State's gonna fucking look good, okay? They look like the mannequins in the store, okay? All right, they're gonna look great on Saturday." Wisconsin wasn't that. They didn't have five stars. They were very much so us. So do you think part of that was our mentality and our approach to the game was, let's not put these guys on a pedestal. They're not, you know, like it's almost we didn't have the same urgency for those big because we were trying to approach the game in a way where it was like, these guys are us. They aren't better than us. We and in that, we then lost a little bit of, but we got to find a way to make sure people understand that they are very good. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, and when you look at the record of when we put the big urgency on rivalry games in 2015.
Yep.
And then there was that like whole, because we put the urgency on it, the media started to track it. And it was like, oh, 18-3 or 18-4 in trophy games.
Yeah.
But all four of those losses were always to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like.
I know. And they're on a level. You're right. They are on a level higher than, like, you know, you step into a week versus Northwestern or Purdue or even Minnesota. Like, Wisconsin is its own thing where, and that's why I've cherished winning the bowl so much. I think we only did it the one time I was there. I think we only did it in 15. We didn't win in 16 or 17. They just had our number. And I agree. There's always been this little play of programs where you look at Northwestern, Iowa, and Wisconsin. They're all just trying to play good discipline, like run the ball, establish a line of scrimmage football. But there's three tiers, and it was all, and during our time at Iowa, it was Northwestern, Iowa did it a little better, Wisconsin did it a little better than them. Wisconsin's a little different now because they've got Fickell. They're trying to air raid it a little bit, open up the offense, a lot more passing. They aren't recruiting the same kind of guys that they used to when we were there. I mean, when we were there, they were recruiting. It was like 6'7". It was 6'7", 320 average.
Monsters.
It was crazy. I don't even know where they find these guys. But every year, they just brought in absolute skyscraper offensive line. Defense was always they filled these same roles defensively. Bro,
these outside linebackers where they could get pressure with three or four.
Crazy.
And like, if you can get pressure with four and now the defense, they have seven in coverage, we're screwed.
Yeah.
Any team. I mean, there's a reason why Tom Brady lost those Super Bowls with the Giants. Yeah. If you can get pressure with four and drop seven, good luck.
We just talked about this. We were discussing why Nebraska was able to hang with Ohio State this past weekend. And it's because their defensive line got a lot of pressure on Ohio State's quarterback. And Ohio State just could not get in a rhythm offensively.
Huh.
Defensive line is one of the, it's got to be the most, defensive end specifically, just rushing the passer.
Go get that guy.
It's one of the most pure positions in sport. I don't even know, like, from a strength conditioning perspective, there's just not a lot. It's so athlete based, just natural instinct. Go be an athlete. But if I could teach coach myself, program myself into a specific spot, it would be DN. I'm just 4 inches too short and half of a second too slow on a 40. Did you see the kid on the track team run the 40 this weekend?
I did. I want to know how they, like, I'm not debating. I just want to know how they started it. Was it a laser start? Was it a hand start? I'm just curious to make it even more impressive. I'm not trying to debate any of it.
It was a laser finish.
I saw the laser finish. And so it's like, was it like they do at the combine where, you know, somebody hit the button to start it on his movement? Again, either way, that's fast. Like,
I could fly, dude.
Like, that was so cool to see.
As a strength conditioning, I saw several people like in the track community and then like in the strength conditioning community reposted and stuff like that. And they're like, but you're going to tell me all these kids in high school are running four fours?
Or that they have a 22 mile an hour. It's like, no, like all it is, I have the software. All they do is they just take, like, you enter all right, timing gate number one is here. Timing gate number two is here. So it's either in meters or yards. And then it takes an algorithm of the time that you ran there and it'll spit out a speed that you like max velocity reach. But it's like, don't do that. Just say what the time was. Don't say that you ran these miles per hour, because unless you actually have that GPS unit that has been quantitatively valid and reliable, you don't know the speed. So stop lying to these kids.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is, we're talking about Wisconsin and we're talking about the weight room. How have we not talked about those stupid masks? I'll say it. Remember when they were squatting with the masks on and they had the strobe lights?
Yeah.
I really hope Iowa wins for this, for that reason.
Let me see if I can find that, man.
Oh, gosh, that was
that like the beginning of Wisconsin?
That was like Fickell. That was his first offseason.
That was like his first couple weeks in the program.
It was like they made this a big deal, and I was just like, a lot of strength coach. Like, again, to me, that's just – so I'm really good friends with Moses Cabrera, who won three Super Bowls with the New England Patriots. And what he talks about when he and I talk about those things is, he's like, that's just more of coaches focusing on things that don't actually drive the needle and help you win games. It's just a distraction. And I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, well, we started to see this, and I know this was back when Drake was still on the main show and doing podcasts, and we talked about it on the show as like, hey, maybe Wisconsin, they just care about other stuff now. Like, maybe they're going to become one of these flash programs who like cares about the social media. This is the
That's so high.
Hey, buddy.
That's so high.
Buddy.
That's so high.
Are these quarter squats, dude?
I mean, just call them sports squat. Don't call them a back squat. Like, call it a sports squat from Cal D to Minnesota. That is not a back squat. That ain't USAPL. Like, that is so bad. Sure, play little baby. I don't care. But squat to death.
Oh, no.
So high.
How can we do that? Oh, and the coach.
Oh, he's got the whistle. He's got the pacifier whistle. Gosh, I hate the pacifier whistle.
The pacifier.
Like nine plays or something there.
And like, I respect it, right? He's got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yeah, he's got nine plates, right? I can't unrack nine plates. To just even hold that on your back, very impressive. What is that, like five?
Nine times, that's eight. That'd be, if it's nine plates, that's not 8, 10 plus 45, 855.
So yeah, it's unbelievable, right?
Correct.
But
you know what else is unbelievable? If he actually, if they would let this kid go to parallel with 600.
Oh, God.
Correct, right? Like, let him come out.
Or if they put 405 on the bar and they put a Tendo unit on it and he shot out like 2 meters a second.
We would want a Vitruve unit instead of a Tendo unit. They're better and they cost less and they have a better user interface, but sure.
A Vitruve?
It's a same premise. It's a velocity-based tool. But with that, we literally just used it at Centennial this morning, got the boys jumping higher with it. Same premise, you put it on, but then if you utilize this app that I got here, you can, so Vitruve Teams, all I can do is I can integrate how fast. So instead of you being like, when you Kluver would jump, well, now I know what you jumped. So then on the back end of it, I can talk with you about, you know, your speed during the week and all that.
This thing right here?
Yeah, Vitruve. Mm-hmm.
This little box with the
little box, so that it, again, same thing, except now, again, it costs half the price of a Tendo unit. But when I have the team,
it's small,
it's very small.
So for anybody listening right now or watching, if you're watching, you can see this little unit that I brought up. You put this this little clip, this little guy right here, around the bar, and then this thing is just on a string that kind of comes out of this box, and the box is a. It reads how fast that string comes out and goes back in, I think.
So that way you can see like how your eccentric speed, if you're doing an eccentric focus.
And they've got the app and everything. Wow.
The boys were doing, they put out a lot harder on their squat jumps today when we had it going on a rack.
I've gotten a lot. We're going to talk about me for a second. I know, tough for the listeners. Hate to hear it. The haters hate to hear it, right? But Kluvy's still getting stronger at 30 years old. I hate to tell you. I'm just casually clean and jerking 315 any day you want it.
My gosh.
No straps, split jerk, push jerk, doesn't matter.
Any kind of jerk.
Doesn't matter. I'm not Cole Fisher, but shout out to Cole. He listens to this.
Shout out to Cole. My goodness, that guy's strong.
Guy can split jerk. He hit 370 the other day. He was going to try and go for 405. Velocity-based training, VBT. I have gotten stronger lifting less weight faster. And I always knew that was a thing, right? Because you're just looking for how do you get stronger? How do you produce more power? That's just a math equation, right? And it's not just about the load. It's also about the speed. Like your most basic, like layman's example would be like, you know, a car crash. If a car weighs 5,000 pounds, it's going 40 miles per hour. Like, you know, that's, you'd see that in some like word problems if you're in like math class. in this example, you could lift like three plates, 315, and you could do it slow. And you do it for enough reps, you'll get stronger. Like you'll create adaptation. But if you put 225 on the bar and you lift that fucking thing quick, you go fat, you bounce down and stand that thing up at, I don't know. I'm not in it enough to know what a good velocity is. What is a good velocity on like a, when you're
depends on the quality you're looking for, but you keep it really simple, like your max effort. So what you're talking about, the slow stuff, you really wouldn't want it below 0.3. But meters, if you're looking, correct. If you're looking for max velocity and power, 0.8 to 0.9.
Okay.
But what you should just tell your athletes is 80 to 90. They don't need to know the point. They don't need to know the meters per second. Just say, hey,
yeah,
get that bad boy 80 to 90.
And I remember when we used to do like off the blocks, hang cleans and hang snatch, sometimes it would get into like 1 point something. It was like,
we were looking for peak velocity. Yes.
Yeah. And like, I just, you know, you got the, I don't know what you call it. It wouldn't be undulating, wouldn't it? DeMarco has us on, you know, you got your heavy day, which is like your classic
effort, dynamic effort, repetition effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Shit works, dude. It's crazy. I know nobody cares. I mean, if you are listening to this podcast, maybe you care.
Well, they care because it's what the players do. The players, especially in the off season, when you get older, you have like, they should be. I don't know if the strength staff is programming it now, but they should be having a dynamic effort, a max effort, a repetition effort, and then following and pairing those stressors with the appropriate accessory work.
Yeah.
That's why they should care.
It's just a beautiful system. Like you can progress. There's so much room for progression within it that you just like, and then like, it's crazy. You just get,
well, strong. See, the reason that I like it too, is like, you're talking about, okay, not only can you do like you, Tyler Kluver, if you're using that Vitruve unit and you have the app going, you not only will see your speed each rep, but you can see your velocity decrement. So you can say, hey, all right, if I'm clean and jerking 315, let's take 90% of it. So now you're at 275, 285. And it's like, hey, I'm going to do 90% until my velocity decrement is 10%. And so now, instead of programming sets and reps, you can literally see velocity decrement from set one to sets, whatever you end at. And now you have a better potency of training, which that's what we're supposed to do.
Is there a little bit of flaw in that? I mean, there's a flaw in everything, but is there a little bit, do you have to be careful there of like, okay, now I'm relying on the player to absolutely.
Which is why you only do it with your mature athletes. You don't do this with you don't do it with your novice athletes because they don't know how to move properly, let alone how to be strong. So in their, you know, their foundation program, learn how to move properly.
Yeah.
Foundation plus, refined, get them strong. That's why you don't introduce it till the very end. Like, no, they got to earn the right for that stuff.
And what we're talking about there to simplify, because this could be getting a little bit over the head, is you use those speeds to see when a guy starts to fall off. And but you can only do that if you've got a guy who's approaching that set or the entire lift, the entire card, whatever you got them doing, with max effort, like he is trying every time. Because if you got a guy that comes in and half asses, it's going to look like he fell off, and maybe he's like, oh no, like his decrement is it's now past the threshold. Like, we got to pull this guy back because he's not doing it as fast. The bar isn't moving as fast. But it could also just be because this guy came in and half-assed this set.
Chose not to, because he knew, like, oh, if I have a velocity decrement of 10%, I don't have to keep going.
Yeah,
so that's why, you have to do both. And getting back to what we talked about with the HRV stuff before, like, if a kid, if there are, and there were, and this is the problem with it. There were some coaches in the world, not at Iowa, but if a player had a low HRV, they'd be like, oh my gosh, you're doing nothing today. And it's like, no, no, no. It's a conversation starter because kids could know that. Oh, let me get a bad HRV reading. I don't want to do anything. You do that long enough over a season. Now you're detrained. Now you're hurt. Like you can't.
Well, also just like the user error or like machine error of like, it might have just, the system might have just, or the strap or whatever your sensor is, might have just spat out a bad number and it wasn't right.
Yep.
And so you can't put 100% into that because, you know, there's days where I would get a bad number. I'd come in and be like, I feel pretty good. Like, slept pretty good, you know? And it's not necessarily the fact that I'm super recovered either, but you could be somewhere in the middle. Yeah, it's interesting. The nerdy side of, but anyway, I like Wisconsin. I don't know. Like, maybe they're a little bit more about the flash. I don't think they are culturally where they were at.
No.
When Paul Chris was there, they
either.
Just seemed, I hate to say it, but they just seemed a little bit more disciplined and focused on things that matter.
Grittier. What did you originally have in mind to talk about today?
I don't know. I just show up and just.
I do too.
I just show up and hope that there's something to talk about, you know? You know what the thing that popped in my head, it was like not really relevant. I mean, we can talk about Iowa. We've talked about Iowa a little bit. The thing that popped in my head was how strength conditioning, like if you're a part of the strength conditioning world or you're someone who's really bought into a personal fitness routine or you've been around like a strength program or like a maybe just a Division I or any high functioning program in general, how much easier it makes parenting.
Ooh. Yeah.
And I don't want to ruffle feathers because
why not? It's fun too.
Everybody's got, because that's just like, I'm just not that guy. I don't intentionally, although some people may think I am that guy. For a very long time, the walk-ons was just known as a click to the fringe haters of the walk-ons. We were just known as a clickbait podcast.
Huh.
We just say stuff to say stuff, I guess. I hate to even say it. I don't think parenting is hard. I don't. I just don't. And I don't know if that's because I naturally am so overbought into, not in like a cultish way, but like the discipline is freedom, Jocko, like, you know, that side of things. I'm so bought into like the, you know, I've got my routines, my disciplines, like I don't miss. I'm a very like, I don't struggle with discipline or like, and I'm not saying that to make it sound like I'm better. It's just like when you get into the parenting thing, you have a kid and you know, all the people, oh, you're in for it. Oh, here we go. Just wait. The just wait.
Yeah.
Of parenting. Yeah. Oh, just wait till they're just wait, you know, just wait. And I'm waiting, still waiting. And I understand I have a 2-year-old daughter, one kid. I know that tons of people have it a little bit more stressful than I do. They have multiple kids. My life situation, all things considered, I'm very fortunate, right? I just don't think parenting's that hard. It's just like, it's pretty simple. Like when you have expectations and standards and you wake up every day and you hold the line, it's just like, you're just living life. It's just not that hard. And I think a lot of that was put into me because that's how you had to live your life inside of a Division I strength conditioning program, Division I football program, if you wanted to be successful, right? Like you have to be here at this time. You're going to be asked to do these things. Sometimes it's going to be physical in the weight room, out on the training field, practice field. Sometimes it's going to be mental. Off the field, you have to take care of your citizenship and your class. Like you just have all these things. And I like it just, and again, I think maybe this is, it speaks to the larger, like why companies often like to hire former athletes because they know how to be on time. They know how to be competitive. They know how to work hard. So, yeah, I don't.
That was always our goal, though. Like that, we were all, and that's what you tell whenever there's a clash. Like whenever you butt heads with athletes, because like it happened with me at Towson, or you'd butt heads with athletes, and then ultimately, like, okay, hey, let's talk afterwards. And it's like, look, we're just trying to prepare you for life. I know you don't see it right now. You're caught up in the middle of it. You're a kid that's at school, and you're trying to play, and all the things. But think about me as either like that older brother or the uncle. Like, I'm just trying to give you some advice because I can see in the path that you're on. I know that when you get to later in life, like we had a kid today in the weight room, he's like, I didn't feel like lifting today. Like, imagine going to work and being like, you know what, Hy-Vee, I don't feel like stocking the shelves. You know what I mean? Like, we are trying to prepare you for life for those exact things. Like, yeah, sure. You do have it easy because you have one kid versus two, or like,
right.
But at the same time, there are plenty of other people that have a wife and one kid and are struggling.
Yeah.
But we don't, like, as a coach, you don't want to hear about that. You want to set the kids that you get to work with up to reverse engineer. Okay, cool. I got to get my daughter to school at this time. That means I got to do this at this time. Okay. Yep. I got to pick, like, that's our job. And sometimes it's difficult to hear that as a young kid. It's great. That doesn't mean you shouldn't hear that it's the truth.
It's so a lot of my thoughts recently have centered around this sort of concept of it, man, if I could only see 10 years into the future, like at 30 years old now with a, you know, wife, kid, somewhat steady job. I don't know about the stability. I wake up every day very concerned about the stability of what I do. But, you know, we're still doing it. If you could just somehow be enlightened to how important the shit you're doing in college is, the stuff that we did, from the little things to the big things. Like, if I knew how much working through the challenges and obstacles of your guys's leadership of the strength program was going to manifest itself into me being able to pretty easily breeze through obstacles and challenges in my real life later. We talk about the 2015 team and that Wisconsin, like, next year is a decade ago. That's 10 years ago.
That's wild.
That's crazy.
Feels like last year.
And if I just knew, I know. And if I just knew, like, the lessons and the things we were learning and how they would transfer to real life. Nothing like, and again, I've got it better. I could name several examples within my own, you know, my wife's family had a crazy thing happen to them on the extended side, like some real life challenge, like adversity, some shitty stuff. I've had none of that happen to me, but I still have your everyday like struggles and, you know, like, or like, you know, with the kid, like kid throws up in the middle of the night or something, you know, that you just don't want to deal with. And the ease of which it feels like I have the ability because of learning stuff through in the weight room, honestly, in the weight room and in a strength program that requires discipline, and like the ease of which, like, I go through life and then the normal struggles of life, it just feels crazy. I just feel like there's so much value in just a strength program. I don't know. Like, if everybody could just be part of a strength program, you'd like, your life would be easier. I feel that way.
That's where it's your job to tell that younger generation, like, whoever you have the ability to positively affect, because when you have, like, there's a reason why when the old heads would come in and speak as those, you know, on the home game honorary captains.
Yeah.
When you'd hear any of the guys come back and the players, former players, say like word for word the same thing that that us coaches have been saying.
Yeah.
But the players are like, oh, that makes so much sense. And it's like, like, as a coach,
fucking idiots.
You instantly are like, son of a gun, like, we've been saying it. But then you're like, wait a minute. It doesn't matter how it gets in their head, as long as it gets in their head.
Yeah.
And then you can be like, hey, all right, this player spoke to you and it retained. Cool. Use that. And that's your job now, is to speak life into it to the younger generation to help the next batch of strength coaches.
This sort of relays back around to last week's conversation. We had a conversation about Doyle and the Doyle interview. If you didn't listen to that, go check that out. A lot of great response. Our most watched / listened to episode of the 5-10-5 show. Uh-huh. Probably not a surprise. You put Chris Doyle's name in a thing and it gets a lot of play. Part of what he said in that interview, with him still talking to Ray, some of the stuff that he's learned, and something that I thought was a legitimate reflection and like, oh, I should have been better at this, was talking to the freshmen right when they get on campus in a one-on-one instead of waiting to the spring to do it. And that makes a lot of sense to me, especially in what coach got caught up in, because I think a lot of the confusion, a lot of the, oh, he's singling me out, I'm getting picked on, I'm getting called out for stuff, that turned into, oh, is it because of what I'm doing? Or is it, you know, then it got conflated with, is it because I'm black or he doesn't like me for some reason? I think a lot of that could have been washed away, or at least buffered. And it goes back to the whole fear versus love thing that you talked about last week too, is if the coaches know you care, or if the players know you care,
mm-hmm.
and you establish that ultimate trust in the beginning, hey, I have your best interest, I care about you, trust me that as a coach who's an adult and has been through this and can now look back in hindsight, I know what is going to be good for you. There are going to be some times where we friction, but that's going to be me and my role pushing you to uncomfortability, because mm-hmm. that's what I have to do. Then in those moments of friction, those players know, okay, he's doing it for my best interest. I don't like this. I don't feel comfortable, but I know it's not personal.
That's a great point. That's a fantastic point.
And what coach was saying was he would wait, you know, he would do an individual meeting with every player on the team in the spring. He said that.
Yeah. We also had it at the, I guess it wasn't as long, but we had meetings with you guys, the end of the semester too.
I think we would only do that with the assistants though. Correct.
Yes. But so when you guys would meet with us and you would meet with Doyle in the off season in the spring, and then you'd meet with us in, whatchamacallit, the end of the semester, or he would also meet with you guys too. Yeah.
Right. And what he was saying was like around camp or so, and it's a busy ass time. There's just not a lot of time to fit stuff into.
No, you're right. Just do it when the minute the freshmen get on campus. That's a
you
great
gotta,
point.
You got to get them right there.
Yep, you're right.
Because if you let them get into the semester, you get, you know,
school, football, yep.
They all of a sudden, they are now bombarded. They feel overwhelmed. They're getting called out on the practice field. They're getting called out in the weight room. They're trying to learn how to go to class, where their classes are, what the playbook is, how to be a student athlete. And if you haven't sat them down face to face, eye to eye, especially a guy like Coach Doyle, who's an intimidating dude.
Intense guy. Yeah.
Intense.
Yep.
You don't know. You might not know as an 18-year-old kid, like, oh, shit, this guy just hates me. This guy hates me. And if you don't know that that's not true, and again, we've talked about how Doyle was probably, you know, a little over.
Well, he was always the hardest on to me. Like, I think it's just a reflection of who he was and maybe how he was raised, but he was always hardest on those.
When you look back, potential in?
Correct.
Yes.
Like, he was super hard on me. Well, I've turned out to be pretty successful. I'm not here to pat myself. Like, I've been successful. You look at the other the
I remember him being hard on Austin Kelly, and we were back to the slide boards. Kelly was just fucking up these slide boards. But I remember specifically the words out of Doyle's mouth. He's calling Austin Kelly out in front of the group, lift group of 30, 40 guys. And he's yelling at him, but he's saying, come on, Kelly, you can fucking play here. You can do it here. You could get it done as a Hawkeye, but you can't do it if you're going to, you know, and he's calling him out. But specifically in that moment was one of the times where he was like, I'm doing this because I believe in you.
Yep.
Like, I know that you can play here. You could be a fullback and get reps on this team, but we need you to step it up, and you're capable of stepping it up. There are several other instances where, like, you know, as much as, you know, those guys on Twitter said that they got a lot of attention, like, a lot of the guys who are just going to be, you know, a product of attrition and not be in the program in however many months or years, those guys, at some point, the coaches stop coaching them. They just, you know, there's not, they see the writing on the wall. It's like, hey, you're just not the guy here. And we're like, I'm going to spend my time elsewhere on guys who are going to actually be in this program, on this team, getting reps, helping us win games. And yeah, you're right. He would usually be, and that's, I feel like that's any good coach. Like, you're hardest on the ones like that you see potential, you're trying to crack, get them over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Maybe there's never going to be a time where we've completely gotten rid of the people in society, like the kid today who's like, I just didn't feel like lifting. Like, okay.
Correct. Okay. And that, but like, that's where it's like, listen, you didn't want to. Cool. Guess what? And it's like, listen, that's what I'll never forget. James Ferentz said this one of the times that he was back.
I have to get James on the podcast, but
either in the summer, and James and I and KF actually have beef this week because Centennial plays West City High West. So,
oh yeah, they do. Yeah.
But James, he said, I forget when it was either summer or in the pre when he was going back to the NFL. He's like, listen, this isn't a field trip. Not everybody makes it back. Like, yeah, it's okay. And that's like, if it was that easy to run a company like Elon Musk does with all of his, or when that chick made Spanx big or Ring, any of these companies that have just exploded, like, it's not easy to do. If it was, everybody would do it. Right. And so it's not special if it's just easy to do. So that's where it's like, we used to talk to you guys about this all the time. If you want to be an electrician, a plumber, a business finance person, whatever you want to do, it takes time, effort, and energy.
Yeah, there's going to be obstacle to it.
Period. And learn to push through it, because this, like you just said, this isn't real adversity, having to wake up early and lift and sprint and change direction.
No.
It is general in the GPP-ness of life, learning how to do difficult things to make your life later on, when you do hit these real obstacles, you can draw from a well of, yep, hey, I've done difficult things. Let's get through this.
How to respond.
And you learn how to, you know, share that with the family, whether it's like whoever it is, but you learn these general principles of doing difficult things. And if people, like, people are going to be difficult on you because it's called work for a reason. They're giving you money to do it. It's not always fun.
Hopefully Wisconsin is a bunch of pussies and they don't know how to respond.
Amen. They're just a bunch of flashy boys. It's home game this week too.
Flashy boy.
6:30. Kinnick's going to be rocking.
Dude, so many night games. Minnesota was a night game. Michigan State, night game. This NBC. Is a night game. UCLA is a night game. Next week?
Yeah. Next Friday, right?
Next Friday. Nebraska is a night game on
Black Friday.
On Black Friday. That's like 5 night games this year. Maybe 6.
Got them eyeballs, baby.
Tough waiting around all day.
Yes and no. Like, let the boys sleep in, move them around a little bit. Like, that's where it's, you, it's almost like,
get them a 5x5 at 85 on the morning of.
Dude, do it. Like, bro, that's what I'm saying. Like, you want to do it really right. Get rid of that primer, get rid of the anxiety running that the players do. Like, wake them up, take them over to the facility a little bit beforehand. Do one of your meeting walkthroughs over there, bring them back, let them take a caffeine nap. Like, do it right if you're going to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I hit yesterday. It was the first time I loaded up a bench press in 7 months. I hit 300 easy. That's just a personal anecdote.
Is those triceps? Where's the horse?
The horse is gone.
Right there.
Yeah, it's gone. I am the horse. I'm going to name the episode I Am the Horse. Anyway, that's just some Friday bullshit for you guys before
some VBT talking about what it's like inside the weight room when you're squatting heavy, the differences. I mean, this was,
don't be Wisconsin.
Don't be Wisconsin.
But unless you have a home gym and you like to lift with strobe lights on, I feel like I'd fall over or something. We'll talk to you next week. This is a big game. We talked about getting off the roller coaster here. We've been up and down 5 weeks in a row. We got to stay up. We got to stay up here. Full eligibility on the line. Talk to you next week. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.